Welcome back, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are truly honored to be joined by our guest today. Today, we have one of the founders, the executive director, and president of True, Bob Ost. Of course, he's here to talk to us about True, which is the Theater Resources Unlimited. And you can get more information about this wonderful organization by visiting trueonline.org. We are always happy when we get to speak with an individual or an organization that's really helping to promote, to develop, just all of that with the arts. So this is such a joy for us. And with that, let's welcome on our guest today. Bob, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you, Andrew. Welcome. I'm happy to be here. And just for everybody out there, when you spell True, when you're looking for me, don't put an E in it. It's T-R-U, T-R-U, Theater Resources Unlimited.
Yes.
Just to be clear, if your goal, Andrew, is for people to be able to find me, let's make it easy.
Right. Well, why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about Theater Resources Unlimited?
Well, the first major thing to say is we've been doing this for 31 years, and everybody out there is gonna go, 31 years? How come I've never heard of you? And I have to actually tell you, I have no idea why you haven't heard of us. We've been here and we've been doing this 31 years ago. I'm a playwright, composer, lyricist, just so everybody knows that a little bit of background about me. And like all artists, I used to think that producers were magicians who had magic wands, and somehow or other they waved their wand and theater happened. They're amazing. And I was, back then, this is 31 years ago, I was winning an award here and there for my writing. I wasn't getting produced a whole lot. And I thought, if I'm as good as some people tell me I am, how come nobody's putting my shows on? And I thought, well, maybe it's because I don't network and know producers. So I just started putting myself out there. And I connected myself with a couple of theater companies, small theater companies, fly by the seat of their pants, scrappy little companies here in New York. And I thought, gee, they're going to get to know me and they're going to produce me. Yay. And well, it didn't exactly happen that way. I wound up hanging out with them and I discovered it was extremely difficult to produce theater. This is a big secret that nobody in the industry knows. It's a really hard thing to do to make a show happen. So I basically, after like 6 months of hanging out with these people, I said to each of them, would you like to meet other companies and maybe come to my apartment and maybe you'll be able to help each other? Maybe what you can't do by yourself, you can do with the help of another company or two companies. And the three companies, the artistic directors, all said yes. They said something else that was very important. They said, can we invite some people? I said, sure. What the heck? Sure. 30 people showed up at my apartment. 30 people showed up in my living room. Luckily, I had a living room that could accommodate 30 people. And I just sat there and I listened to everybody talking about how hard it was. And they were so frustrated. And they started finding out that everybody else in the room was having the same problems and the same issues. And it was like the light went on for me. I've invented producer therapy. So basically, they're all talking about all the problems, and suddenly there was something very healing about hearing that other people were going through what they were going through. So at the end of the evening, I just looked at everyone and I said, want to do this again? And 30 hands went up, and I just sat there going, oh my God, I think I just made a life choice. And so I started doing this. I mean, basically, I would have people come over like once a month to my apartment. I immediately, very early on, decided that, well, rather than have a bunch of people sit in a room bitching about how hard things are, why don't I invite somebody who could give advice, somebody that knows more than the rest of us? So my first guest in my apartment, in my living room, was a guy named Fred Vogel, who actually was the founder of the Commercial Theater Institute. Andrew, do you know the Commercial Theater Institute? Well, it's too late now because they just closed. Oh, I'm sorry to say it. They were around for years and years and years, and they helped nurture a lot of producers. And in some ways, we modeled ourselves after CTI, Commercial Theater Institute, except I wasn't really commercial. That commercial was something that sort of crept into my life over the years in the past, maybe last 10, 15 years. But originally we were about seat of your pants, scrappiness, just getting the show up, just making art happen in New York. And it was funny because in that second or third meeting where Fred Vogel was with me, sitting on my red sofa in my living room next to me and listening to all these people talking about producing, he turns to me, he goes, "Bob, you have commercial and not-for-profit people in the same room." I said, "Yeah, I do, don't I?" He said, "Bob, you can't do that." "Why?" "They don't speak the same language." And I thought that was just silly. I was like, really? No, they should speak the same language. Everybody's trying to make theater. It's like, whether it's commercial or not-for-profit, producing skills are producing skills. You have to raise money, you have to put teams together, you have to manage personalities, you have to manage a lot of personalities. And why not have them talk to each other? So, I stubbornly held on to the idea that I wanted to get people from all different aspects of theater, all levels of theater in the same room. The other thing that was kind of thrilling was that I started meeting people that were well-known and, top drawer producers, and they were happy to come and meet a room full of people that were starting out and just learning. And so the other thing that happened at the very early stages of Theater Resources Unlimited was that first of all, I learned how generous the community is. The community is amazing. We have an amazing community. We have an amazing community, Andrew. I think you know that after talking to people for 404 conversations at this point. I think I basically, after Fred Vogel didn't discourage me, I started basically trying to bring in speakers every month so that everybody could hear people with useful information. And that's how True was sort of born. It wasn't called True. It wasn't called anything at that point. It was called a bunch of people in my apartment bitching. But eventually I put together I decided to go not for profit. When I first did it, it was just about networking. It was just about getting people in a room and getting people to talk to them and make connections. It was very effective that as far as that goes. But eventually I realized that I had to own the fact that I was actually helping people. And the organization was actually helping people. And so we started doing programs that were created specifically to help people hone their skills. We focused originally on producers. We were a producers organization. Our mission, if you read our mission, our original mission, I think we've adapted it over the years, but our original mission was about helping people produce, helping producers produce. So one of the questions I saw was, how did this all come about? How did this company come about? So what I can tell you about that, I started off earlier talking about how I thought, like other artists, that producers were magicians and just waved a wand. So I started learning about the business. I had to really start confronting the business and embracing the idea that this really was a business. And so I started started producing myself. I realized that waiting around for somebody to discover me was tedious. It was just tedious. It just was never, it just, you, what are you going to do? Like nobody pops up and says, "Oh, wow, you're the next hot thing. I'm going to put your show up on Broadway." Doesn't happen. It maybe happens to a couple people, not very many. So I decided that I would start producing my own work. It started small. It started in cabaret. And I put together an evening of my songs and I cast it and I raised money. It's like, oh, I'm an artist. I don't know about money. Well, I had to get rid of that, and the other thing, this is very important. I forgot about this. I was a copywriter. My real job in the real world was an advertising copywriter. And I was hired away from a great job. I was a copy director of one of the fragrance divisions of Revlon. I was also a fashion writer. I mean, I was the head of the copy department at Revlon for fragrance. And I was hired away by a startup company called, well, it doesn't matter what it was called, but it was a new company and they wanted to bring me in as the creative director. And I came in as the creative director and I functioned as a artist and did what I had to do. And then the guy that had the money, the partner with the money, pulled out. And the other partner ran to me and said, "Oh my God, will you help me run this company?" And I looked at him and I said, "What? What do I know about running a company?" Well, it turned out that because I had to do it, I had to learn it. And I wound up for 3 or 4 years, I actually ran the company and I did all this business stuff. So a lot of this, it's a big stew that I'm cooking here. It's like threw this in the pot and threw this in the pot and threw this in the pot and suddenly true happened. But that's kind of what it was. I could no longer hide behind, "Oh, I'm just an artist. I don't know anything about business or money." And I had to run this company. And it also influenced me in my decision that I was talking about before about, "Oh, I'll try producing my own show. I will embrace my inner businessman." And it was successful. It happened. I made it happen. And I realized that it was silly for all of us to just sit around and wait for something to happen when you can make something happen for yourself. So that's the other thing that was I've been dedicated to since the beginning of True. It's basically helping writers embrace the idea that they can actually make their careers happen, that they can take responsibility for it all. And here we are 31 years later, I think it is. And we've grown enormously. One of the things that actually created an enormous growth spurt for us was shutdown. Isn't that crazy? I think I was telling you that my birthday was the day that the day that theater stopped, March 11th. And the day before I was seeing Come From Away, which for those of you who don't have a visual, Andrew's actually wearing a Come From Away t-shirt. And he's modeling it beautifully right now. So I didn't know what to do. I mean, the day after I saw Come From Away, I found out, first of all, I found out I shouldn't have been in an audience with 1,000 people. And then I found out that, oh my God, we're going to be shutting down for 2 or 3 weeks. It's like, oh my God, shutdown. We're going to be in quarantine for 2 or 3 weeks. Oh, it's going to be a month. Oh, it's going to be 2 months. Oh, you don't know how long it's going to be. Oh, good Lord. So I think we all went through this problem, this challenge. And at that point, I'd have like 26 years, I guess it was, of running this company and live programming and being out there and bringing people together in a room. And suddenly I was finding out that that wasn't such a good idea. So at first I thought, I'm going to have to close the company. I think like everybody else, I ran into my bedroom and threw the covers over my head and said, "Please go away, world, please go away." And I had people who just started telling me about Zoom. It's like, "What's Zoom?" "There's a thing called Zoom." "I don't want to know about it." "Yes, you do." "No, I don't. I really don't." "Oh, Bob, take my hand. We're going to walk you through and you're going to see how Zoom can help you." So I thought that I was extremely slow in pivoting. But apparently, April 17th, starting a Zoom room and starting a community gathering wasn't such a slow pivot compared to a lot of people. So we pivoted on April 17th. I opened up the Zoom room and I started doing much like what Andrew's doing. I sought out interesting people to talk about theater and talk about the arts in general. And within a month, I suddenly had people from all over the country tuning in. And I had people from around the world. Andrew, I do not know why, but for some reason or other, I've attracted a very substantial, not substantial, well, I've a lot of people from Australia come into my room at 7 o'clock their time in the morning. So I have no idea why Australia just found me, but they did. UK, of course, people in Malaysia and Germany from all over the world. So oddly enough, we had a tremendous growth spurt because of COVID. We grew visibly. We grew into being a global, I mean, I chokes in my throat when I say it, but global community now. It's crazy to me that it happened. It's a wonder. I have no idea why. It's just It is what it is. And I'm still doing it. You know, I'm still doing my shows just like you're doing your shows. Every Friday, I'm have bring people in.
That is wonderful. And I, as you mentioned, I mean, I can't relate more to this. This is absolutely kind of the way we've gone. And so this is really fantastic. Now, I want to ask, with this great organization you have, these wonderful artists that you speak to, and these people you're getting in the room together, is there a message or a thought you're hoping that your audiences take away from your group?
In the 80s, I was very much into meditation and healing and healing circles. So at my core, I'm really about empowerment. I'm about helping people to understand that they can do what they want to, what they dream of doing. I'm also realistic enough to know that not everybody's going to fulfill their dreams at the level that they might be fantasizing, but you can make your dreams to some degree happen. And if you know how to do it, you can make it happen. So yeah, that's the message I try to give to people as much as possible. Believe in who you are and believe in what you can do.
That is a fabulous message. Definitely a fabulous message. And I'm glad you're putting it out there in the community for people to get and to feel. And that leads to my final question for this first part, which I'm really excited to know, which is who do you hope have access to Theater Resources Unlimited?
We're, as I said, we started off as a producers organization. So we have a producer development and mentorship program. We have two levels of it. We have foundations, and we also have a master class taught by Broadway producer Jane Dubin. And we also teach boot camps on producing, raising money for theater, recognizing commercial potential, and also essentials of successful self-producing. So we sort of fanned out from the producing core to the self-producers. And by reaching out to the self-producers, I suddenly found out that we were useful for artists, all artists. So basically, it's any theater professional. If nothing else, you'll get a really good opportunity to network and meet people in the business through us. But we also teach a lot of skills that a lot of people have said. One of the reasons I do this consumes my life to the point that I can't write as much as I'd like to write. I mean, I finished a play like a year and a half ago. No, a year and 3 months ago, I finished a new play. So I squeezed them in. I get the creative stuff in there, but it takes me an enormous amount of time to run this organization, to keep it running and offer opportunities to as many people as we do. And the reason I keep going is because I keep getting emails from people that say, "You changed my life." And what is there, what better life purpose can you have than making other people's lives better?
That is just so wonderful. I'm in awe. I mean, that is such a great mentality. That's such a great thing you're doing. And the fact that it's being reciprocated to you, that's so wonderful. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do without the feedback. I'd probably commit myself
Wonder if you're
somewhere.
putting it out into the ethos, right? Second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. And I want to jump right to my favorite question to ask guests, because I'm excited to hear yours. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
I this is very odd. This will be a little bit odd for you, but I write musicals as well as plays. So I'd written this musical, and it's a star vehicle for a star. So that's just some amazing female actress who would just take the part. And like, a long story short, went to see Pirates of Penzance in the park with a friend of mine. Publicly, he's a PR guy named Keith Sherman. Keith Sherman and I were going to see Pirates of Penzance, and we're standing in line. I look at Keith, and I look over like yonder. I go, "Do you know who that is?" He goes, "Who is it?" I said, "That's Shirley MacLaine." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I guess it is." I said, "I'll be right back." So I run over to Shirley MacLaine, standing in line at Pirates of Penzance, and I say, I'm a huge fan of yours, but more than a fan, I want you to know that I wrote a musical that has a part that you would be so amazing in. My dream is to have you do this show. May I send it to you? And she looked at me and she went, yes, you may. You may. And I said, well, I have a copy of it with me right now. She said, no, don't give me the copy now. No. She takes a notebook out of my hand and she takes a pen and she writes down her information and she goes, send it to me. I'd be happy to look at it. So that was this is me at the beginning of my career, believe it or not. And at the same time, my first show is actually being done as a little off Broadway showcase, and we're having our first rehearsal. This is like 6 months later. We're having our first rehearsal in our apartment, and guys at the music directors at the piano and teaching the songs to my cast. And the phone rings, and I excuse myself. I go off into the kitchen. I pick up the phone. And I hear a voice, hello, Bob. I said, yeah, this is Shirley. Huh? Shirley MacLaine. And I go, oh my God. I was so like completely thrown. She asked me to put together a presentation of the show for her, which, because of the people that I knew and were involved in, we wound up doing it on the Neil Simon stage, which at that point was called the Alvin Theater stage. But we did this presentation for her like a couple months later when she came in, and she grabbed me, she gave me a hug, she goes, that was wonderful. And then I never heard from her again. So the there's a spin-off of this story. Like a year later or 2 years, I don't know when it was, I was at Amadeus. I was seeing the matinee of Amadeus. And it's up in the mezzanine. And at an intermission, I start walking down the steps. I hear buzz, 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 Shirley MacLaine, buzz, 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 Shirley MacLaine, Shirley MacLaine. Going, Shirley MacLaine, MacLaine must be here. So I walk down the steps. I walk to the lobby floor. I walk somehow intuitively. I walk directly to a side area, and there she is. And I go over to her and I start saying, Miss MacLaine, this is Bob Ose. I'm so happy to run into you, blah, 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 blah. And then there's a long pause. She looks at me and she goes, Bob, this is Prime Minister Trudeau. I'm just, I scampered away. I said, nice to meet you. I don't know if it's the kind of story you're thinking of, but this is what popped into my head.
Oh my God, that is amazing. Just when I thought you couldn't top the first part, you go and throw that in. That is incredible. What a memory. What a story. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's amazing.
And in case everybody didn't guess, she never did my show.
Well, as we wrap things up, Bob, I'd love to know, do you or True have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, even though I'm going on and on and on about our producers organization, one of the things that we do is that we do an audition event. We do a weekend audition, and it's going to be May 18th and May 19th. We have about 40, more than 40 theater companies and casting people coming. It's going to be virtual, and everybody gets to do, every actor gets to do a 2 minute audition that consists of two contrasting pieces. It's a paid audition in a sense, but we offer workshops and prep to help people get ready and do the best possible audition. So if any actors are out there who are interested in auditioning for a bunch of theater companies, it used to be New York based, now they're scattered. It's mostly North New York, but it's you know, around the country, there's companies that are going to be coming and people that are going to be seeing you, definitely from West Coast as well. So if you want to hear more about that, read more about that, then you can go to True Audition, truaudition.com, truaudition.com. That's a euro that's a redirected URL, because if I gave you the whole URL, everybody would go, ah. So yeah, I love people, you know, I love people. Also, if you are a producer or a writer or a director and you have casting needs, do me a favor, reach out to me. Email me at truntd at aol.com. truntd at aol.com. And just say that you're interested in seeing the actors. Over 2 days, we usually get about 180 actors.
Well, that actually is a great setup for my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Theater Resources Unlimited or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
For those of you who didn't catch my email address the first time, no, the URL is TRU online, true online, truonline.org. If you mess it up and put .com, we redirect that as well.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today, for sharing your amazing organization. And holy cow, that memory. Definitely in the top three we've ever heard. That is amazing. So thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. Glad to do it.
My guest today has been one of the founders, the executive director, and president of Theater Resources Unlimited, Bob Ost. He stopped by to talk to us about his organization and share several of their upcoming projects and events, as well as what they do. They do wonderful, wonderful work. They're a wonderful organization that's perfect for connections. They've got a great event coming up for any actor out there. They've got a great audition happening for many, many producers and theater companies. So make sure you check out more information about that, which we'll have posted in our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But be sure you subscribe, you follow, you stay on top of this great organization. Again, they're Theater Resources Unlimited, and you can find them at trueonline.org. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.